Christina Zdenek goes bush all the time, often with a camera. She takes glorious pictures of wildlife, and you can see them online. Just hit Christina Zdenek Wildlife Biologist. She's based in Brisbane and often heads north. She supports the kind of development we've been hearing about more and more these days. How to go with the natural world instead of submerging it in concrete, trying to thwart it. This is not a utopian green approach. It's invariably just more efficient and lasting. Christina.
Over the past 4.5 billion years, life on planet Earth has been rigorously selected to either survive or perish. Those that survived did so because of advantageous adaptations relative to other organisms. Many developed genius methods of solving complex problems in nature, like how to harness the sun's energy, how to separate salt from water, or how to live in extreme heat. Rather than trying to engineer solutions ourselves to environmental problems, I believe we should look to nature for solutions. Human societies across the world face countless challenges in today's overcrowded and overconsumptive world. Doom and gloom news about the environment is reported daily, from crashing fisheries and excessive forest clearing to endangered species, climate change, and a plastic ocean. It's exceedingly obvious that we are pushing, sometimes exceeding, the boundaries of what nature can endure. What's worse is that there is not a single environmental problem that will be ameliorated by an increase in human population. But that's exactly what's predicted. We're currently 7 billion people on the planet, and that's predicted to rise to 9 billion by 2050. That's a 30% increase. While the Earth has recovered from 5 separate mass extinction events in its history, we're currently in the 6th, and life will eventually recover and go on as it has done in the past, regardless of our actions, it's a matter of the time frame for recovery and our quality of life and survivability in the meantime. These crucial factors will inevitably drop if we're not proactive in addressing environmental problems. So what can we do about these global, environmental, wicked problems before they worsen and it's too late? Do we keep the status quo and let vulnerable societies and future generations deal with the repercussions? Or do we act? Let's hope that most people would choose the latter option. So, the next question is how? The way I see it, broadly speaking, we have 3 options or a combination of them. We can either A, reduce global human population, B, reduce our consumption rates, that is, the amount of resources and land required per person, or C, become more efficient at resource use. While a multi-pronged approach involving all of these options is surely needed to address the environmental problems we face, I'll focus on the efficiency aspect. How can we do more with less? Chances are, the answers we seek to help solve our environmental problems already exist in nature, and observing and researching nature is how we're going to find them. That may sound like an outlandish claim, so let me explain. There are about 9 million species that currently inhabit our planet, and these are the most current survivors, those which have best adapted to the Earth's current conditions. On the other hand, less well-adapted or less efficient organisms have perished. The current survivors are the species with the greatest, most efficient innovations that allowed them to prosper in their habitat up to this point in time. These innovations are a goldmine for discovering mechanisms to solve our own environmental problems. Take, for example, the darkling beetles in the Namibian desert. These creatures have evolved the perfect combination of hydrophilic and hydrophobic areas in the nanoscale bumps on their backs in order to condense and direct fog droplets into their mouths to drink. How they do this is simply by lifting their bums up in the air. This incredible innovation of harvesting water from the air has inspired the design of synthetic surfaces, which desert people around the world now use to capture drinking water. This is biomimicry at its best. Many of us know the incredible ability of bats to use sonar location to navigate through dense forests and to not crash into each other as they leave and enter the caves en masse. Well, their ability to solve complex navigation problems is now being modeled in new communication technology in naval submarines and drones, and may help other navigation problems too in dense societies. Another example of incredible innovation in nature is the remarkable low cancer rates in elephants. Only 5% of elephants die from cancer, compared to the much higher 20% levels in humans. How they do this lies in their genes, and researchers are currently investigating ways to mimic what's going on in elephants to hopefully create anti-cancer drugs for humans. And have you ever heard of a pharmaceutical drug called Captopril? It's a widely used treatment for high blood pressure, and it was developed from snake venom. See, the pit viper kills its prey by quickly dropping their blood pressure. Now, although venom is typically thought of as a dangerous substance to be avoided, at the right dose, it can actually be very helpful. This is because the toxins in venom are so good, so evolved at targeting specific chemical compounds in the body that they can actually be utilized as useful drugs with few side effects. Helpful venom doesn't stop at snakes. The venom of an Australian tarantula has been isolated to create a potent but environmentally friendly insecticide to increase farming yields. This is critical. Insecticide resistance is a serious problem, and arthropod pests destroy about 14% of the world's annual crop production. Not to mention that colony collapse disorder of pollinator bees around the world is largely due to traditional broad-spectrum pesticide poisoning. Nature is clearly full of amazing adaptations, from cancer-fighting genes to unparalleled navigation abilities and counterintuitively useful venom. And many more are awaiting our discovery. By helping our societies become more efficient at solving problems in nature, these innovations can help us to, at least in part, solve the environmental problems facing our planet. So, what could Australia's role in this be? Having been isolated from the rest of the world for about 45 million years, Australia is particularly well endowed in the species department. That is, most of our species are found nowhere else in the world. For example, 87% of our mammals, 45% of our birds, 93% of our reptiles, and 94% of our frogs are found only in Australia. Having already faced unique problems in our region that require solving, this mega-diverse array of species come with unique biology and life history strategies. Things like birdsong, breeding systems, and even migration have been demonstrated to be vastly different from the Northern Hemisphere. Species are different down under, and therefore a jackpot for innovation and discoveries. Surprisingly, despite being a relatively rich nation, we are well behind in researching even our most common species, like the sulfur-crested cockatoo and the saltwater crocodile. We have a vast landmass and a relatively low concentration of biologists on the ground, so we're probably missing out on countless discoveries and helpful innovations. Moreover, the natural world has an enormous amount to teach us, and in order to discover these efficient innovations and apply them to our societies, we need to be in and observe nature. This is, of course, at odds with our increasingly indoor culture and urbanization. So, I implore you to support an outdoor culture. Keep nature parks in cities. Support national parks and their careful management. Be a nature mentor to a young child. Free play in nature that encourages exploration and a sense of wonder. And support policies that are in line with an outdoor ethos. These kind of actions will also help create a positive mental well-being, not to mention benefit the microbiota in our bodies. Finally, we need to arrest the current trajectory of extinction rates in Australia. More than 1,700 species of our plants and animals are currently federally listed as being at risk to extinction, including 30% of our remaining mammals. Extinction should simply not be an option. Beyond that, We need trained biologists who are financially supported to conduct their fieldwork so that they can have the opportunity to observe and uncover more of nature's amazing adaptations and efficient innovations, which have been honed for millennia. We may not know where the next key innovations lie, but we'll never find them if they go extinct or we don't go looking. I'll leave you with this. It's amazing what you find when you start looking, and a logical place to look is in nature. Because, as Jeff Goldblum so famously puts it in Jurassic Park, nature finds a way.
And then he got chased by a velociraptor. No, as Christina Zdenek suggests, look up from your screen and see the trees, and you'll be surprised. She's a wildlife biologist from Queensland. I'm Robin Williams. See you next time.